Jesus to die for.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And how are you wonderful people this evening?
Super. Thanks for asking.
I have good news for you. You were created to be successful. That the Creator only knows success. And the Creator put that inside of each and every one of us. We are programmed to succeed. Everything about us wants to succeed. When it looks like we're not succeeding, it's because we're listening to the world and we're not listening to our inner selves. There is absolutely no way that any human being can fail in this world. There is no way that you can fail throughout eternity. This thing that we call God, this thing that created us, only knows success, does not know failure. Therefore, you only know success. And you must remember that you are programmed for success. Your whole body is programmed for success. Your whole body is programmed for health. Your body is not programmed for illness of any type. Yes, illnesses come into our lives, but the body immediately goes to work to rectify that. Our body is always on the side of health, of well-being. Our whole being is on the side of whole, complete, and perfect. We cannot say that God is perfect and man is imperfect, because something that's perfect cannot create something that's imperfect. So if you think that you are imperfect in any way, let that go. That is not true. There used to be an old saying, God does not make garbage. Is that it? I think God does not make garbage. It's an impossibility. So try to remember that in your life, that you're programmed for success. You're programmed to be victorious over everything in life. When something comes into our life, an obstacle of any type, it comes into our life to teach us something. Never in a punitive way. Never to make us suffer in any way. But to teach us something so that we can learn something about ourselves. And what we usually learn about ourselves in any circumstance or in any obstacle is that we are superior to the circumstance and the obstacle, that we can overcome any obstacle that's put in front of us. This is the power that we have within us. This is the power that we can draw upon, because we all live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And that mind knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And when we move ourselves out of the way, we are able to do that. When I say move ourselves out of the way, I mean move our viewpoints, our opinions, and our beliefs out of the way. Move the belief of illness and failure out of your life. Move it right out of your consciousness. It does not belong there. And tell yourself that you're programmed for success. And then start seeing that success everywhere, everywhere in your life. And you will have that success. Because this power that we call God will match you every time. It come from, but I every time. So when you think that you're strong and you can overcome something, God will move right in and prove that for you. Will move right in and prove it. I know that many people were taught that we are only human and that we are weak and that we're this, that, or the other thing. Their world views, they're not cosmic views at all. And we don't deal in the world. We live in the world, but we do not have to deal in the world. We do not have to believe what the world tells us. We have the power within us to overcome any circumstance and to overcome any obstacle whatsoever. This is the only way that it can be. You cannot have a perfect God and have imperfection of any type. When we see imperfection, it's because we are not looking at it correctly. We are looking at it with limited views, with a limited belief. And when we get a bigger and better belief, the obstacle, the circumstance changes. Because each and every one of us is programmed to be successful and to be victorious. So remember that. And don't give in to any obstacle, any circumstance whatsoever. Know that the power that's in you is greater than any power that's in the world. The power that's in you is greater than any power in the world. So, remember that, please. That's the good news for this evening. You are programmed for success. An affirmation for you to do every day is to tell yourself, I am successful. I am successful. And you will watch that happen. But you have to claim things. And you have to claim things for yourself. And success, you claim for yourself. And you know that you're successful. And you see that every day, and you do that affirmation every day. I am successful. I don't get up in the morning and start my day thinking that I'm a failure in any way. I don't get up in the morning and think, oh, there's a circumstance or an obstacle out there which I want to avoid today, which I cannot overcome. I get up every morning and say, I am successful. Bring on the obstacles. Bring on the circumstances. And I will level them. Because I have a power within me that is greater than any power in the world. And then I go about my day. But I remind myself that I am successful. So that is the good news for this evening. Now, we'll talk a moment about a race mind alert. I have two of them. One just occurred driving over here. There's a big billboard that says, you took 4 fake sick days this month. So treat yourself to something from Jack in the Box.
What does that mean?
Exactly. What does it mean? But it's telling people to reward themselves for taking a fake sick day. How many people? It's a lie. It's an out-and-out lie, and they're telling you it's all right to lie, and then once you lie, treat yourself and have a big burger or whatever they sell at those places.
I thought it was saying, and then really be sick.
No.
Oh.
No.
Payback.
You're rewarding yourself. Okay. Yeah. So you reward yourself for doing something that's not honorable. You know, companies have, you can take so many sick days. And a lot of people say, well, I have a sick day, I'm taking it, whether I'm sick or not. You have to think about that one for a moment. Because when you take a sick day, you're telling your mind, I'm sick. Now, you could take a mental health day, maybe. But you can't take a fake sick day. And you can't take a dishonest thing like that and reward yourself for it. And then we wonder why there is no morals and no integrity going on in corporations and the government and all when we post signs. It's all right to lie and get rewarded for it. That's race mind, people. So when you see those things, just know it. Don't get all upset. Look at it and laugh and say, now look at that. That's pure race mind at work. And that's why the world in general, the race consciousness, the collective consciousness, is in the shape that it's in. Is in the shape that it's in. And then if you go to Jack in the Box long enough, you'll get sick, I'm sure. But that's that. Now, the next one. This was just on a trailer I saw running across the screen. It was from a CIS Las Vegas. And the main character says to somebody, well, you know, Jesus died for our sins. Is there anyone in here who thinks Jesus died for our sins? You do? You don't?
I don't know why.
Well, that's an out-and-out lie, people. Jesus did not die for our sins. Yes, Jesus died. And yes, Jesus was crucified on a cross. But Jesus died because he got into politics. This is absolutely true. He got into politics. And they said, get rid of him. And Jesus many times said, they will crucify me. They will crucify me. That's an affirmation, people. So why would you be surprised? You know, you got crucified. Say it long enough and somebody will crucify you. The reason why I point this out, it's a lie that's put out there. And you have to look at this lie. And you have to say, why are they saying that Jesus died for our sins? That was the big sacrifice. There is the clue. They were working with pagans who always were sacrificing something to a god of some sort or other to appease that god for something that they had done. The God that we're talking about in here does not need appeasement of any type, and certainly does not need a blood sacrifice of any type. This is not taking anything away from Jesus. It's pointing out the truth about the matter. Everything that Jesus did was wonderful.
Although, according to the legend, he said, I'll be back. And he couldn't come back without having died first. So
certainly taking his time, isn't it?
Well, according to the legend, he only took 3 days, and he came back.
Oh, but he's coming again, isn't he?
Well,
the billboard in Pasadena says Jesus is coming.
Yes, but it's been saying
coming soon, and he died for your
sins. Near you.
Pardon?
What was politics?
He got into the Jewish politics at the time. He got into the Roman politics at the time. And you can't do that. In Rome at that time, they had left every religion survive side by side. But if you messed with politics and the religion, no. And that's what happened. It's as simple and easy as that. And it doesn't make any difference, except if you are thinking, oh, I feel bad that he died for our sins. First of all, you weren't even around. So how could he die for your sins? And get rid of that word sin, and get rid of that the idea of sin. Sin only means a mistake. It means to miss the mark. It doesn't mean all this other stuff that's going on. But don't think for one moment that Jesus died for your sins. No one has to die for your sins. If you think that you're a sinner, change your mind. If you think you're sinning, stop sinning. It's as easy as that. If you make a mistake, don't keep making the mistake. Wise up. You have a mind. You know what's wrong and what's right. Don't do it. That's all there is to it. But you cannot think that Jesus died for your sins. That is a lie. And it came simply out of the idea that they always, all religions had to have a sacrifice of some sort. All religions had to have a sacrifice. Except Buddhists and stuff. They don't have any sacrifices. There's no sacrifice going on there. They offer fruit and offerings. They don't say, here, have a bloody body. You know. So don't do that to yourselves. You know. Don't do that. And it takes nothing away from Christianity, by the way, and it takes nothing away from Jesus. So, you see, in this teaching, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Very little that's been said about him. Most of the things that were said about him are made up. Are completely made up. You think he was really born on the 25th of December?
No. No.
These are made up things. It doesn't make any difference. But know that it's made up. If you want to celebrate it, celebrate it. But don't think, oh, this is absolutely true, that this was exactly because somebody ran around behind Jesus and wrote down everything he said, and we have a complete record of that. We have no record of that. Most of the stuff that we know about that, they started to write down 500 years after the crucifixion. After. Now, don't you think it gets a little blurry after 500 years? You know, if I started looking, remember that old parlor game, was it called telephone that you used to do? And by the time it got around, it was completely different. It was completely different. So religions are wonderful. But you have to use your intelligence when you're talking about religions and when you're doing religious things. If they work for you, keep using them. But if they don't work, get something that works for you. Get something that works for you. And any religion that teaches sin and guilt and shame, why would you want a religion like that? Why would you want guilt of any type? And there's all kinds of guilt, they tell me. Mother's guilt, Jewish guilt, Christian, Catholic guilt. Everyone seems to have. What difference does it make? It's guilt. And guilt is all man-made. It's all man-made. No such thing exists anywhere else. Does it exist in animals? You think animals feel guilty? No. They don't feel guilty. We teach them to feel guilty. Teach them by yelling at them and scolding them all and shaming them. You make them feel guilty. So give up guilt and give up that idea that Jesus died for your sins. No one has to die for your sins. And if somebody did die for your sins, it certainly wouldn't get rid of your sins. It wouldn't get rid of them at all. And you cannot influence this thing we call God by sacrificing anything. We are not here to sacrifice. And we can go back to another biblical thing. And if I have my names correct, Abraham and Isaac. Wasn't Abraham instructed to kill his son? And didn't God say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. God doesn't say, kill somebody. The God that we're talking about is called a living God. A living God, not a God that wants blood sacrifices, sacrifice of any type, or death of any type. So when you hear anything about a religious war and God wants you to kill the infidels, please run the other way. God doesn't want. Why would God do that? Can you understand why God can't do that? Absolutely, God would be killing itself. God would be killing itself. So God does not do that. And God never sits in judgment upon you. Never sits in judgment. God only sees you as that wonderful, successful, victorious person that you are. And that's what you want to remember in the whole thing. Okay? Good. With that said, we'll start as we always do with spiritual mind treatment. And here again, when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I was born to be successful. I was born to be rich. I was born to be prosperous. And I know I am these things. I am these things because I am one. I am one with the only life there is, and that's the life of God, and that life only knows success, prosperity, and abundance. So right here and right now, I claim my share of prosperity, abundance, and money, knowing that I take nothing from anybody else, that my share is my share, and it belongs to me, and I claim it right here and right now, and I let that be so, and so it is. Is everyone still doing their affirmation? Wonderful, wonderful me. Yes, you must do that. And how about, I love you? Yes. Do the I love yous. Every day, you will see a complete difference in your life and in what comes into your life. Because all things that come into our life because of love. And the more we can love ourselves, the more will come in to our life. That is an out law. It works every time. The more you love, the more you will receive. And it works. It works. You have to open to that. You have to use that all the time. In the back row there, I see a young man. Will you tell the story about your birthday party? And the food? Loudly so we can pick it up.
The very Saturday after you mentioned about receiving, about if you receive something, don't say, oh, you shouldn't have. I had a birthday party, and I think when people said, you know, what should I bring, I said, just bring yourself. So some people came with gifts, and the very first thing that I said when I got it was, oh, you shouldn't have. And I caught myself. And then I told the whole story about this class and how I'd been warned against this. So I kind of metaphorically slapped myself. I said, said more.
Can you see how ingrained that is? How ingrained that is in people, and we immediately forget? And how many people think, oh, that's the polite way to do it? You see, we think, oh, that person's so polite, I have to be polite. Oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. Yes, thank you. Yes, you have to learn to receive. When you can't receive, you're not loving yourself. When you can't receive, you're not loving yourself. And each time you love yourself, you'll receive more. Learn to receive and learn to love yourself. That is tonight's topic, by the way. Loving, and what we think about loving, and how much love is in ourselves and in the world, and how it affects everything that we do. And now we're going to hear from Rhoda on love.
Well, what I've learned, until I love myself, I really can't love anybody else. And sometimes you think you're being loving, and the little voice in your head is doubting. And there's all different levels of love, too. And you think you are, then something will come up. And you'll see, you don't really believe it. I have seen that through the years, I've had a habit of saying to my family, I want something. And as soon as anyone says, I'll get it for you, I think, no, I'm not really that sure what I want. And so that had me very crazy. I was crazy anyway. But, you know, I passed it. But I think they've been learning to do better for themselves.
And you've been learning, haven't you? You can say and take now. Good. The one thing that you said to me in a conversation, which I really loved, was this. She said, when I'm not loving myself, nothing happens. When you're not loving yourself, nothing happens. Meaning nothing good comes into your life. Nothing happens around you. When you're not loving yourself, nothing happens.
And you're doing it.
And you're doing
it. Creating
it. You're creating it, absolutely.
But when you grow up with that kind of an attitude kind of drilled into you, it's very hard to get past, not to have it show up in different times. No matter how many times it stops, it's kind of like, it's so all time. And so, you just have to do it. I walked in the house today, for some reason, I said to myself, I am love. And the next thing I did, I said, Rhoda, I'm love, you know, for 10 times. Reinforcing the love. Instead of the bad. Yes.
All our lives we've been taught about love, haven't we? And that God loves us, and Jesus loves us, and this person loves us, and love is all there is, and love makes the world go round, and all this about love, 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 love. But no one ever sits down and says, you know, you have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to find a way to love yourself. And you have to love yourself right where you are, and exactly the way you are at this very moment. Not after I lose 10 pounds, after I have my face done, after my teeth are straight, then I'll really love myself. You have to love yourself now, just the way you are. And it'll make all the difference in the world. People are always asking for peace of mind. They're always asking for peace of mind. You cannot have peace of mind if you do not love yourself. It's an impossibility. Because the mind is going to say, oh, you're not quite right. This is a da 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 da. You cannot have peace of mind. So you have to learn to love yourself. And you have to find a way to do that. And everyone can find a way to do that. If the only thing you like about yourself is your little fingernail, then start to love that little fingernail. And love it so much that it spreads throughout your entire being. If you have to start there, start there. But learn to love yourself. Then you have to learn to love everything exactly the way it is. Exactly the way it is. I had to come in tonight and learn to love this carpet. I had to learn to love the carpet. Because that's the way it is. That's what's in front of me right now. And I could sit here and say, oh, look, isn't that awful? Look what they did here and look what they did there. And oh, that, ooh, what a place this is. And yeah. No. I have to sit and love that rock. Which is not easy. But you have to learn to love everything exactly the way it is. If you're in a relationship, you have to love that person exactly the way they are. And as soon as you learn to love that person exactly the way they are, that person will change. That person will change. But what do we want to do in all relationships? I love you, but you could change. Look what you're wearing now. Couldn't you put some on? You can't do that. You have to love the person exactly the way they are. And you have to learn to love yourself exactly the way you are. As soon as you do that, everything changes. And then you do have peace of mind. You do have peace of mind. I told you the story about Krishnamurti, right? Does anyone know who Krishnamurti is except me? I must be old.
Krishnamurti?
Yes, you know him.
Yes.
Somebody, I knew somebody who reads has to have known him. Anyway, Jay, he went by Jay, period. Krishnamurti. His first name was Jay. And I don't know
There's another Krishnamurti too. Oh. Preaches the opposite of what Jay Krishnamurti.
Well, we don't want him. We want this one. Anyway, he taught for years. He has many books out. I could maybe, if you give me a moment, a title will drop in, but it's not dropping right now. But his students ask him once, what is your secret? And he said, I will tell you what my secret is. I don't mind what happens. I don't mind what happens. And you see, we always mind what happens. It happens. Don't mind what happens. Things are always going to be happening. Things are always going to be happening. You see, we think we want to have control over everything. We want to have control over what happens. We don't always have control over everything. We don't have control over what happens. But what we do have control over is how it matters to us. How it matters to us. What did you say, Rhoda? You just don't put any importance on it. See, it's the importance we put on something. If we put a lot of importance on this rug, we could all get upset. But we don't. So you learn to love what is. And see, we're programmed to love what isn't. And we're programmed to want to make something different than it is. And we can't do that. But we can make ourselves different. And when we shift our consciousness, when we shift our thinking, then we don't mind what happens. We don't mind what happens. In relationships, he's already blessed. Does anyone know where that comes from, bless you?
Because they thought that the soul was escaping the body once
more. And they did it during the bubonic plague, because as soon as somebody sneezed, they knew they were going to die. Mm-hmm. And that's why today we still say, God bless you when you sneeze. I never say God bless you because I'm already blessed. Just a little side thing. Yeah.
So you can't ask for more blessings?
Yeah. Now you ask.
More, please.
Yeah, exactly. More blessings. More, yeah.
But you're already blessed, you know. Well, I mean, it's all right, but I just want to... See, that's another race thing, and that's another thing that people do unconsciously without knowing where that came from. It came from the idea that, yes, that the soul leaves, but that was during the bubonic plague, because as soon as you sneeze, they would say, God bless you, knowing you were dead. You remember the game you played as children, Ring Around the Rosie? Mm-hmm. All yeah, Fall Down? Right. That's the bubonic plague. That's what they... Yes, that's...
Sick and twisted.
Yes, the posies that you smelled were to keep the smell away and all. And it ends with All Fall Down. They all died. But it was Ring Around the Rosary. Now... How that dropped into my mind, I don't know. But there's more information for you. Back to love. Love yourself. Love what's in front of you. Love things just the way they are, without trying to change. You won't gain peace of mind by always wanting to change something. And especially... trying to change yourself all the time. We're going to get better. We're all getting better all the time. We're stretching our consciousness all the time. But gain peace of mind. Don't be that anxious ridden all the time, thinking, oh, am I really doing this right? Am I really loving myself? Am I doing this? Just sit and love yourself. And just let it come into you in every moment. And with everything you do. And some days I do horrible things, I think. You know. But I still love myself. You should see me. You don't know when I'm alone what I do. You wouldn't want to. But I can get, I guess, flashes of anger. You know, if I run into something, do something, I... But then I think, oh, well, I love myself anyway.
Today we're on our way up. And I have to say this because it's pretty damn funny. She had one of those moments where she, but I was in the car with her. It was so pleasant. So she had one of those moment outbursts. And she goes, I love you, Dallas, but sometimes I gotta do this.
Sure.
So she was loving you.
Yeah. But she has to love herself even when you have the outburst. I have outbursts. And I think, oh, where did that come from? But I go right back to loving myself. I don't punish myself the rest of the day for that. I make a little note of it and say, let's see how long that'll last before it comes up again, you know. But you have to learn to just have fun with yourself and fun with life and learn to love and just keep loving. But in relationships, when you're in a relationship, what happens is people want to change the other person. They want to change the other person. You can't do that. That's not love, trying to change somebody. You see, our concept of love is a little askew somewhere. A little askew. And once you realize, oh, just love the person for the way they are. Makes all the difference in the world. to yourself and to the relationship. And to the relationship.
And relationships are constantly changing.
Yes. How long have you been in a relationship?
Almost 50 years.
Almost 50 years in a relationship.
Well, I guess it's 50 years, but we'll be married 50 years in March. Well, we met in September, so that's 50 years. And constantly changing.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine says, sometimes you leave, it's like a dance, sometimes you leave, and sometimes the other person leaves. We're not going to lead all the time. And hopefully they're not going to lead all the time.
Right. But you have to learn to love them and yourself just the way you are. Just the way you are. And love everything else just the way it is. Can you see how much peace of mind you would have if you're able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because then nothing bothers you. You see, you don't mind what happens. Nothing can bother you. I love it just the way it is.
You know, talking about the receiving, I have a friend who doesn't like to receive compliments and doesn't like to do things for it. So I just go, if whenever I feel the need or the urge to say something, I go back to how I feel because she doesn't accept when I'm getting a compliment or wanting to take her to lunch. And it doesn't feel good when you're wanting to give to someone.
Right. Yes, and it breaks down the flow of prosperity and abundance and money. Because it's a circular thing. It's a give and take all the time. And people who always want to be giving and giving and giving, I invite them into my life.
Come on.
But you can't just keep giving and giving and giving. You have to learn to receive and to receive and to receive. This is what happens to caregivers. This is why they go under. Because they give, give, give all the time. Just, you can't do it. You can't do it. You have to have it come back to you. And you have to be open to that. Was that you, Danny?
Yeah, it was.
You have to be able to open yourself to receive. Is there anyone in here who still can't open themselves to receive? And that means not only gifts and so forth, that means gifts, that means compliments, that means money, that means opening yourself to your success, that means opening yourself to the job, to your career, to the role you want, to the audition, to the job, getting the job. A lot of people are very good at things, but they don't get what they want because they, when it comes to them, they aren't open. They're not open. You see, the universe wants to give you something all the time. In fact, it's giving you something all the time. It's giving you things. You'd be surprised what's sweeping over you right now, and you're missing it. Why are you missing it? Because you're not open, you're not receptive, and you haven't made yourself ready.
Some people sabotage themselves when they're getting what they want.
Yes.
So it doesn't feel good.
Because they're not ready to receive. You have to make yourself ready to receive.
What about also being able just to be able to give to yourself? And
yes. Yes.
You know, I had an experience this weekend where I was, all these little things that I've been waiting to do because of money, I finally just said, I'm going to go do those things for myself that cost money, but I knew the money, I know the money will be there. And that was a huge thing because I put off so many little, you know, getting my battery watches, doing all those little things that add up to hundreds of dollars because I thought, no, I'll just wait. And so I did all these things that I thought, the money will be there.
Yeah. You have to have faith that the money's going to be there. And when you hold back, like she said, you know, with the little things, the universe sees that. The universe feels that. And you're being stingy. You're being stingy with yourself. And since we live in a universe that corresponds to you, then the universe becomes stingy. The universe becomes stingy.
I'm treading a thin line right here.
Yes, I can see that.
There's something I'm saving up for.
Yes.
And I get impatient. I go, well, I can, you know, I want instant gratification, and I'm not used to this delaying it by saving up for the thing I want. And sometimes I feel I'm denying myself the thing I want because I'm putting it off until I can afford it to pay cash, because I don't want to finance it, and I don't want to have less than the thing I want. Now, am I being stingy, or is it...
No, you're not being stingy. You're being wise. You're using wisdom. And you're saving for something that you really want. But now know that you can have that much faster and much quicker, because you're trying to do it all yourself, and you're trying to do it by saving money.
Mm-hmm.
Which is only one channel. Let's open up more channels. Let's be ready and receptive for it. Let's know that the money can come through all channels, and that can build up, that you don't have to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years for it, that it will come all to you. You see? Don't try to do everything yourself, people. You know, yes, you could save all the money yourself, but why bother? When you have a universe, when you have a rich universe, when you have a rich father that's more than willing to give you the kingdom, why are you doing that to yourself?
Have you heard the expression, if you ever want something done right, do it yourself?
Yes, I've heard it.
Can you comment on that, please?
What? Oh, if you want... Well, that's a race mind, out and out race mind. And what your mind is trying to do is... I want the word convolute. Well, yes, justify. Something about pervert comes into my mind.
Justify
pervert? No. Something about you're perverting it.
Yeah.
Yes. You're perverting that. You're taking a race mind idea and you're saying to yourself, well, that means I have to do everything. So that you think that the universe is not going to help you, because if you want it done right, you've got to do it yourself. You know? And I would call that arrogant. The reason why I would call that arrogant is, here you are thinking that you can do something better than God, better than the universe. Does that help you?
I asked for a comment. Thank God.
Can you understand it now?
I do. I think sometimes you want it done a certain way.
But you are. Do you have people you don't understand? Stop. You are doing it your way. But you're allowing this thing that we call the universe, this thing that we call God, this cosmic energy that we talk about, this intelligence that we talk about, to come through us to do it for us. But we are doing it. No? Didn't hit you?
No,
you cannot understand that we do nothing. We're only conduits, people. We're only conduits. The power is working through us at all times. We can direct that power. We can do something with that power. But that's the power that's doing it. And yes, we're doing it. It's a hard thing for the mind to grasp, because your mind doesn't want you to know that. It wants to keep you separated from that. It wants to tell you that you're not one with God. So you have to do everything yourself. And if you think you can do it better than anybody, you can't do it better than God. You can't. So you let that come through you to do it. Does that help?
Yes.
And what? I'll be right with you. Are you off the thin line now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
But I think I'm on it.
Oh, you're on the line. Now
because
we got him on the line.
If she would have saved up her money to do the things that she wanted to do for her, would she still have been stingy as opposed to if he were just to go out and buy whatever
he's
he wanted?
He's been little bakeries and so forth. He's thinking of a great big house or something. I know this man. He's thinking of something gigantic.
That's different, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm treating myself.
Yes. He'll buy a battery.
Yeah.
But you're thinking motorcycle, house, and cabin in the woods and stuff, aren't you? Yes.
He knows.
And painting, yes. I got
that.
I'm
restringing my pearls and see the batteries for my watch.
Yes. Does that help you?
Oh, yeah.
Fixing
yeah.
my other car.
See,
and
right. yeah. See, there are two different things.
Yeah.
I knew there were two different things going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So that helps you. No, you're not being... It is a fine line. What do I do and what don't I do? But you cannot deny yourself constantly little things like that and then say, I really love myself and I really want money to come to me and so forth. And you're denying those little things. How many people go into a restaurant and they look at the menu and they order the cheapest thing on the menu? They look at the cheapest thing and they say, well, that's... But if a guest is with you, you say, oh, order anything you want, I'm paying. You see, you'll treat a guest, you'll treat somebody else better than you'll treat yourself. Don't do that. Treat yourself just as well, if not better. You're the one. You have to learn to love yourself. You're the one. You know, and then you don't get ridiculous. You learn how to do it correctly. I used to love to go into restaurants and spend great sums of money. At that particular time in my life, I liked doing that. Now I wouldn't do that, you know, for anything. I had lunch at the Eiffel Tower. It was $120 American for lunch. Ostrich covered seats. Well, I never sat in an ostrich covered seat before, but it would cost $120. That was a treat. That was all right to do. But I don't go out every day and do that kind of stuff, you know. But you have to use your wisdom with this whole thing, and you have to see what's going on, you know. If you feel that you can't do it, then don't do it till you know that you can do it. Never get yourself into debt. Don't get yourself into debt. It's the easiest thing in the world to do and the hardest thing in the world to get out of. Just don't do it. And you can learn to live life without ever going into debt. The world wants to tell you to go into debt. Morning, noon, and night, they want you to buy something that you can finance. It's all it is all day long. Buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. You know. And then they have all those shopping channels. I just discovered those. Worst things in the world. People sit all day long and buy stuff over the television. You know, if you sat all day long, you'd have to have more than $1 million to buy everything that came on in 24 hours on the television. Because you can buy a house, you can buy a car, you can buy everything for in the house, everything for this, everything. Jewels, you can buy jewels up one side and down the other, you know. You don't do that. You don't do that. You will reach a point in your life when you will discover that less is more. It happens to us all. It happens to us all. You will discover that less is more. And once you start to love yourself, you don't need all the trappings that you think you need. You just don't need the trappings. And when you don't need the trappings, you don't get yourself in debt. And when you're not in debt, guess what? You have peace of mind. You have peace of mind. The world does not teach peace of mind, nor does the world want you to have peace of mind. It wants to keep you wanting all the time. And they call that the economy. Don't do it to yourself. Sit and love yourself. Before I buy anything, that's not true, but it's almost true. You ask yourself, do I really need this? Do I really want this? And what am I going to do with it once I get it? And most of the things will go away from me. Will go away from me. You can only have so much. And everything you have doesn't belong to you anyway. Nothing that you own belongs to you. You're only here using it. If you don't believe me, try to take it with you. It will not go. It just won't go. We're only borrowing everything and using it. That's all we're doing. To learn to love yourself. I will tell you that if once you learn to really love yourself, it'll never dawn on you to go into debt. You'll just know that because I can't do that to myself. I love myself too much for that. It's all a big gimmick out there. They want your money. What they really want is your interest. And they want to keep you hooked all the time. How many people here saw The Secret? Do you remember the Industrial Revolution type thing? That little picture of all of them working? We're taught to just work all the time and never to get any. Just, oh yes, you go to work, you're the drone. And the higher-ups who know how to do it, they have the money. But all we do is go to work. We just keep working. You see, once you love yourself, once you understand this whole principle that we're talking about, the principle that we're talking about, does anyone know what the principle is that we're talking about? It's the law of attraction, or the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect is a corresponding law. It always corresponds to what you're saying and what you're feeling. Always corresponds to that. I can't do that. No, you can't. I can do that. Yes, you can. It always corresponds to you. I'm rich. Yes, I am. Yes, you are. I'm successful. Yes, you are. It will come right back to you. It's a law of correspondence. It corresponds all the time. We call it the law of attraction. We call it the law of cause and effect. It's an immutable law. It runs throughout the entire universe. Works for everyone exactly the same way. It's completely mathematical. And once you learn how to use it, your whole life changes. You see, from this end of the universe till wherever the other end is, which we know now there is no end to the universe,